Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman stuff. Can we talk to you, woman to woman?
Well, we are going to be touching a very popular subject on tonight. And the subject on tonight is the fruit you reap when you creep. And some people might be saying, Coach D or Mr. LaDon, Dr. Brenda, what does that mean? In other words, creep means cheat. And all of us have probably experienced at some point in our lives being cheated on and how that made us feel. And some of us have been the cheaters. So we want to just get into that tonight. Definitely no condemnation, but we just pray that if you've been hurt by the acts of cheating, that maybe tonight you can find some deliverance and some forgiveness and be pain-free. And if you were the cheater, we pray that tonight perhaps that you could just forgive yourself and ask for forgiveness and be able to move on. One of the things we found is that cheating is never about the act.
It's not. It's not at all. It's cheating, it's not about the act. It's about something that's deep-rooted within inside of you. Because if you think of the word, if you think of cheating and what it means to cheat, you know, most times people associate it with relationships and sleeping with somebody else, or even, you know, some people go so far as to say being closer to someone else than you are as close to your mate. But cheating even goes into, you know, the lies that you tell yourself. Cheating is not living up to what you say your moral compass is, your belief system is, your values are. That's where cheating comes into, because it's a lack of discipline, for one. And the discipline, again, comes into play when you're not abiding by the values that you say that you have. And that's where cheating begins. That's the root of cheating. And when you don't abide by it, by either not following it yourself, or someone comes into your life and they don't follow it, and you still don't stand up for those values that you have, and you don't stand up for it by either tolerating what's being done, or responding to it to get the action to be something different.
Right. I get that. I get that. What do you say? Because everybody may not have that moral values. Actually, I was actually reading, and I found that I believe it was something like 4 out of 10 believe that adultery is morally right.
Oh, I remember you saying that in America, that, I think that 4 out of 10 people believe that adultery is right. And then also 1 out of 10 Christians believe that adultery is right. But that's how it goes back to switching your value system. Mm-hmm. When you don't stand up for your value system, everything becomes to be
acceptable.
Yeah. Mm. And so you make it acceptable by not living by it or adhering to it or standing up for it and making the situation change or the habits or the circumstances change rather than you change or your values change.
Mm.
You know, so cheating, you know, it's not about the act. It's not about somebody laying it down with somebody or rising up with somebody. It's not about the lies. It's about that value system, and that value system, who is dictating that value system, is where the root cause really is. Because, you know, our values are moldable by what we're going through, who we're talking to, what we're doing, then they're not firm. They're not founded in anything. And so they can be blown away by everything.
Yes. You know, one of the things, too, is that oftentimes I've heard people say, well, I was cheated on. In other words, you hurt me, you cheated on me, and I'm going to cheat on somebody. And, you know, it becomes a vicious cycle. You cheated on me, and I'm hurt. Now I'm going to cheat on somebody because I was cheated on. And it goes on and on. So, again, it's never actually about the cheating more so than what's going on in the inside. What insecurity, what hurt, what pain, that is you going through on the inside that's causing you to want to cheat. I know Dr. Brenda has some statistics for us, and I'm ask Dr. Brenda if she could just kind of jump in here. We're going to get to some statistics, and then we're just going to get down to some dirty dealings and get down right into some things that we want to talk about as women.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want to, everybody have different reasons for why they cheat.
Yeah.
People have heard different reasons for why they were cheated on. And cheating is never, the one thing I want to say, and I think we're all in agreement, that cheating is never okay.
No.
But we want to get into some realistic things, because why do people cheat? We want to get into some of those reasons people cheat. We want to get into some of the reasons why we tolerate people cheating on us. Because that's not about the person who's cheating on you. That's about you. So we're going to get into those things, but we're going to let Dr. Brenda tell us some statistics so we can understand that this cheating thing has been going on for centuries and is not isolated.
Well, that's true, and this is Dr. Williams. And I went on the website. Now, this subject, you can be out there all day, every day reading on this, and it depending on the website you go to, the numbers change. But one thing that I found, and I went into the website, for it's called statisticalbrain.com, the infidelity stats, and this was amazing to me. And this said that 57% of men admit to cheating, and 54% of women admitted to cheating. And the stats are rising because most people, they would think more men cheat than women, but there's only a 3% difference according to statisticalbrain.com. There's 57% of men cheat in their marriage and 54% of the women cheat in their marriage. And one of the things, the common thread of that is it wasn't for sex. It said that it was for someone to talk to, companionship. They didn't feel they were getting that at home. And because women are in the workplace now, way back in the day, women didn't work. But because women now are in the workplace, 60% of affairs start at work. And 35% of couples who one spouse or both travel in their work, 35% of them have affairs. Because of the way society is, yeah. Because you got a household now where both parents are working, and that opens that door of opportunity for the man and the female, because they meet more people in their daily lives now. So this is, if the numbers are high as far as marriages that are having spouses cheating, but on one of the sites I went to, healthresearch.com, says the main reason that the divorce rate is high is not because of infidelity. It's because of communication. A lot of the couples don't communicate. And when one spouse finds out that another one had an affair, 31% of those marriages, they stay married. So the high divorce rate is not because of infidelity. It's because of lack of communication amongst couples.
Wow.
So that was,
and it just
now
goes,
this,
go ahead.
And this one, another one that I found out that really surprised me. Although cheating laws are rarely enforced, adultery is considered a crime in Michigan, Minnesota, and South Carolina.
Wow.
Now, you know, I wonder if people know that. Or do they just
I didn't know that.
I mean, I wonder if they just don't operate. Is this something that happened, a law that's never, you know, that was made and never actually been reconsidered? Because I'm sure it's got to be adultery going on in those states.
Yeah.
Yes, but they don't enforce it. If the law is not enforced, if the law were enforced, there would be a lot of people behind bars just on that fact.
Say those states again, Dr. Brenda.
South Carolina. I'm from Michigan. So, look, I grew up in Michigan. So, Michigan, Minnesota, and South Carolina have these laws on the books.
Wow.
But the laws don't enforce it.
That's good to know. That is really good to know. I never heard that, and I'm sure a lot of people that live in those states are not aware of that law. Because if they were, I'm sure, like you said, people would be filing, filing charges.
Yeah, and it goes back to show when she made that statement that I don't quite remember the statistics, but I think she said 32% of the couples stay together. The ones that have communicated.
Well, communication is what it says is 31% of couples, once they find out that a spouse has cheated on them, they stay married. The high divorce rate, that's high divorce rate, is due to lack of communication in a relationship, not the infidelity.
Yes, and I love that being brought out because, again, when you think of cheating and when you really apply cheating in the truth of the sense of cheating, not just situation or circumstance, but to, again, not live by your moral standard, when you start communicating, it's not about the act.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the act. It's about the standards that that everybody was supposed to live by. And then when you get so in this situation, expectations weren't being met and different things like that. It was never about the act. It was about what we expected from each other or what we wanted or what we wanted to give. And so I felt like I wasn't getting it from you, and so I felt like I could go over and get it from here. Or I just wanted to go unconscious and have pleasure.
Well, one of the things you were saying, and this is Coach D, is that, and I'm not surprised, I'm listening to the statistics of it, but I've often heard that more marriages have stayed together after infidelity. But I'm not surprised that you said that more marriages divorce because of lack of communication, because in order to cheat and be able to get past that or get through that, you have to be willing to communicate, because you got to communicate failed your needs. Where you felt like I failed your needs that made you want to go outside of the marriage place. And don't get me wrong, because there should never be a reason that you go out and cheat. It shouldn't be. But let's deal with the facts. Let's not get religious. Let's not get religious because the statistics are showing us, especially in the body among Christians, the adultery rate is high for Christians. And so we hear stuff like, oh, well, if God is in the center of our relationship, we can't fail. We hear these cute cliches, but guess what? The statistics is telling us different. The statistics is saying that there's a high infidelity rate among Christians. The statistics is telling us that there's a high divorce rate among Christians. So statistics don't lie. Now, and I say that to say it because let's deal with the real truth of the matter. Because if you go out and you have an affair on me, the question is, why? And if we can't sit down and communicate to why, what your why is, you know, what's your because, if we can't figure out that, then we can't heal, because we can heal from anything, especially as believers, especially when we know the power of forgiveness, especially when we know the power of loving someone and the true definition of loving someone. And when we know those things, how can we really, in a marriage, walk away from infidelity?
But here's the thing that I think with that, because when we say why, we have to be willing, and don't get me wrong, because I'm not sitting on here this show, and by no means am I saying that cheating is okay,
right?
Sort of stand around and put up with cheating or anything like that. What I'm really saying is that you have to know what your values are, because when you start to get away from your values, you are, in fact, cheating. Doesn't matter what the other person is doing or not doing, you're cheating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is getting away from what their values are when they can treat somebody a certain way or, you know, not have any sensitivity to the consequences that come out on the other end, because, you know, the Bible tells us, of course, to treat each other the way that we expect to be treated. It also tells us that we were bought with a price and glorify God in our body. That means our whole body, mind, thoughts. So when we begin to get away from our values, that, in fact, is cheating. So when we place where we're saying why, we have to understand that when that person gives us the reason of why, it can't be associated with who we are, what we expect, if we're trying to understand how that person thinks and how they operate. How, you know what I mean?
Because we're trying to understand the, you know, like you said, and not to do, I guess I say this to say, you're right. First of all, we could say our values. We could say the word of God. We could say this is what the word, we know, everybody knows that not to commit adultery is one of the commandments. We all know that. I think my thing, what I'm saying is that I think that there's a big, and this is now, this is, I'm doing a disclaimer. This is merely Coach D's opinion. And so I don't want somebody going home and saying they get ready to, they get ready to do something, to go outside their spouse's head or something because of woman to woman. But I'm saying all that to say is that we know that. We know the word. We know about, we know that thing. But see, something about that is a myth in the body. Because if it wasn't a myth, then the statistics wouldn't show such a high alarming rate. And I think what happens is that because we don't want to deal with the real issues, because we always want to hide behind the word or hide behind, we don't want to deal with the real issues, even though we're supposed to apply the word to this. But see, we can't just get so super spiritual that we've given an example. And I'm not saying cheating is ever, and we keep saying that because we want to make sure that the listening audience is really hearing the meat of what's been said, and you don't get the wrong perception that we're saying that there's ever a reason to cheat. What we're saying here is that, for example, I'm married. I'm a woman that's married to my man, my husband. And all of a sudden, I shut down. I stopped wanting to be intimate with him. I stopped wanting, and the Bible is very specific about that.
Mm-hmm.
As his wife, I don't have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's the word of God. That ain't me. But I'm making a decision that I don't feel like doing it no more. Don't ask me no questions. That I ain't giving you none. I'm going through whatever I'm going through, I'm not. So you trying to get me to communicate. You trying to be intimate with me, and I'm shutting you down. This is going on for 6 months. What I've now done was provoke you to temptation. I mean, and I'm not saying he can make that my fault, but I'm still saying let's own our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be responsible for that, the thing that we. Now, I'm sick. I'm having some female difficulties that is not allowing me to be intimate with my spouse. That's a different. That's a whole nother thing. But we communicate, so he knows. So he knows that this. But as his wife, I believe it's my responsibility, even in what I'm going through, to be sensitive to him, but he's been sensitive to my situation, but being creative. Mm-hmm. There may be some other creative ways that I could still make him feel wanted, that I could still have the bonding mm-hmm. with my husband, because sex is bonding. And that's why a lot of people didn't say they cheated for the act, but they cheated because they were emotionally missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And so saying all that to say is that we got to deal with the, we have to get to the root cause of why people, of why I did this or why you did this, and not making excuses for it, but definitely get to the root cause. Because at some point, maybe your forgiveness is in understanding, not accepting, but understanding. Because I think when we can understand what somebody's going through or where somebody's been, maybe that person's forgiveness is in understanding why a person did what they did.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I just think that even in the understanding why, that what we do is we take that act upon an attack against ourselves, and we do, because it's natural, we're human. But the whole thing is to get out of, we've been miseducated, we've been misinformed, and we've been misled.
Yeah.
If you go back to the lack of discipline and the lack of your values living out in your life, because again, if I'm moving over because of my trying to understand people, because of my trying to make things okay, if I'm moving away from my compass, then I'm going to get lost somewhere up in there. If I'm moving away from my moral, and I don't want to say moral, I want to say value system, because that's that pole that sticks up and keeps you guided and keeps you vertical. You know what I mean? Keeps you pointed in the right direction. When you move too far away from that, that's when you get in mixed up in all of the mess. But when you are at when you're attached or bonded to your value system, then you can be okay with an expectation that wasn't met.
Mm-hmm.
And so if my wife or my husband is not giving me sex or pleasure or whatever the case may be, I can be okay with an expectation that wasn't met. But the further I get away from my value system, the further I get away from my discipline, that's when I get into messes. That's when I get into the chaos of cheating. And again, cheating could just be lying. I didn't go spend this money. When you're cheating, you're looking for, I want to say pleasure. You're looking for unconsciousness to whatever situation or circumstances that you're seeking to flee from, because there would be no cheating. That's just like if you're on a diet and you cheat on your diet, you're fleeing from having to be disciplined to eat a certain way, and so you're going to, I'm just going to have this one time to get that pleasure and that satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ate right all the time, if you ate right all the time and you said, okay, I can have cake in moderation, that's not cheating for you. But when you overindulge in certain things, now you begin to cheat. So that's why I say you have to understand what cheating is, because it changes by situation. It changes by circumstances. So you have to live by your moral value system. Your value system has to be what guides you,
mm-hmm.
because cheating, lying, and everything becomes different based on the person, the place, the thing, the circumstances.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, but I got another spin, though, because I understand what you're saying, that they have to stay close to their own individual moral compass. But as I went out and did the statistics on this, which is, this is something that I never thought about going and doing until we decided to do this as our topic this week, if they're going to stay close to their moral compass, according to healthresearchfunding.com, they have on here that 56% of men that cheat claim to be happy in their marriages, and 34% of women that cheat say they're happy in their marriages. So if they're happy in their marriages and they still cheat, the compass may not even exist. So you have to ask, how they even bother to get married?
I was getting ready to say
that. Huh?
But it takes both people. That's what I'm saying. It takes both people to stay attached to their moral compass, because if you're tolerating somebody else's something, then you went against your moral compass before you even got into that connection.
Well, I hear what Dr. Brenda is saying.
They would be with somebody who cheated.
Right,
they would be
cheated because your moral compass is based on what you believe.
Exactly.
So for us, when we're talking, you know, we're talking some facts. We're talking based on our belief system, which is the Word of God. But you're not swingers.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing in their mind, what they do,
and it wouldn't be cheating.
It's not cheating. It's nothing in their mind is wrong with what they're doing. But they have some rules to that. There's some rules to engagement. Because in that lifestyle, the agreement between the husband and wife may be, you can't sleep with this person unless I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go and sleep with somebody that they didn't make their spouse aware with, then that could be cheating. So I say that to say that the moral compass varies from person to person, because you're going to do it based on your belief. And so when we're talking now on this show, and we're talking from a Christian standpoint, we're talking as believers, what God has demanded of us, what God is speaking of us. So when we go outside of that belief system, because that's the Bible, the Word of God, is our moral compass. And so what we say on here is going to minister and speak to believers. It may not speak, and even some people that might not be walking in the word,
but that's so 4 out of 10 Americans that believe adultery is okay.
Listening audience to know that when we speak, we're speaking, we have to come to some common ground. And when we speak on woman to woman, we're speaking with our foundation being a Christ-centered foundation. And so we're speaking because our moral compass is that. But we understand that people that's listening in, that may not be your moral compass. And like I said, there's no condemnation. That's between you and your belief system. And your creator, and that's between you. In no way here are we pointing fingers. We're speaking some facts. We got Dr. Brenda that brings us the statistics, not the emotional stuff, because as believers we have a tendency to speak from emotion. Dr. Brenda is bringing us statistics, facts, and we know facts can change, but she's bringing the statistics. And then we have Minister LaDon is bringing us the word. So you got facts. You got principles, and then you got me. You got woman to woman. You know, so we got facts, we got principles, and then we have me. And then when I say me, is that I'm coming probably from more of emotional. Maybe emotional. All of us probably been through some experiences. I'm coming from experiences. Yes, I do know the word, and yes, I know some of the statistics, but I think we're well-rounded here. And so what I would like to do is I would like to open up the line. And if you're listening via the Internet, I would encourage you to call into the show because you can't ask questions or make comments from the Internet. We don't get that. Even if you think you're doing a chat room, we don't get that information. I don't see that. So if you do have a question or a comment, please dial 646 area code 721-9678. Again, that's area code 646-721-9678. That will dial you into the studio, and then you would dial 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question for us or a comment tonight. Great, this is a great topic, ladies, and it's definitely something that we've all experienced in one way or another. Even if you never cheated and never been cheated on, who knows, as a child you may experience your parents cheating or a relative cheating. So everybody has had some effect by cheating. So for the ones that's listening in on tonight, if you have a question or comment and you're already online, please dial 1 on your dial pad, and we will bring you in. We'd love for our audience to chime in with us. This is Woman to Woman. We're talking about issues and problems that women deal with, and we're talking that from women from different walks of life. We'd love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear your participation in the show. And we're going to continue on with the show, but if you feel the need to, or led to ask a question or make a comment, please feel free again to dial 1 on your dial pad.
Okay, and you know, one of the things that I wanted to really make sure was being brought out again is that, again, cheating is just the offense. It's not a standard because we cheat in some way, shape, and form every single day. So when it becomes a standard, that's when things start changing, and that's when it doesn't matter what the other person's moral compass or their value system is, because you won't live against your value system. And if they have the same value system, and if we see our sisters and brothers start falling, because even before they're your husband and wife, they're your sister and brother,
yes,
or your mate or whatever, and as we see each other start to stumble or fall, if we are helping to keep the value system intact, it's harder to get away from that place of not communicating, not sharing our expectations of each other. We want to help each other stay accountable and responsible before we get into the issue, not after we get into the issue.
Ooh.
And that goes back to when we are lying and we're communicating, but in our communication we're lying. No, I was going to call you right away, but I got into this, I got into that. When you were really talking to somebody else, or maybe you didn't want to call right away. You're just afraid of how the other person will respond, because don't be afraid to deal with that stuff. And we're afraid to deal with that stuff, and so we pile all this mud on top. And then we have this place where we're, because the mud is on top, that means we're putting a gap between our value system and who we are, because we put the mud on top.
You know, as you were saying that, you said a key thing. And you always have to have, the one thing I love about my sister is that we all may come from different opinions, and I'm talking about my sisters here on Woman to Woman, and those probably two calling in, but I may or may not know you personally. But I'm talking about the ones here that I know. The one thing that brings us all together, well, it's a couple of factors that bring us together in this show. First of all, we're all women. That's the key thing, is that we're women. And as women, there are certain things that we each experience that are common amongst us. The second thing is that, and this should have been the first thing, is that we are believers. And so our foundation, again, and our moral, our compass is Christ. I say that because we all still have maybe matter, we have our own opinions.
Yeah.
And even at the end of the day, in our own opinions, we still got to take that opinion and we got to compare it to the Word of God.
Yeah.
So when I say this, I want you guys to really hear, you're listening, as a listening audience, you really have to really be focused, attending, and hearing the words that's being spoken. Because in the natural, what I'm getting ready to say could sound like I'm jeopardizing my beliefs. I'm jeopardizing my morals. I'm letting somebody use, me or this. But from a spiritual Minister LaDon said something that runs volume to me. And the way she said was, before he's my husband, he is my brother in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, something. When you begin to look at it like that, it changes the whole dynamic of how you deal with any situation.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the dynamic of how you deal with his maneuvering ways, his cheating ways, his lying ways, his mismanagement of money ways as your husband. Now I'm talking about your husband, because if he's doing all that before he's your husband, then you may be out of order and you're not seeking God for direction, because that's not something you're supposed to be marrying into. But let's say you find it out afterwards, giving us the benefit of the doubt, we lived and we got married and we found out later that these are the things he's dealing with. Then I think for me, It could change, because now I'm no longer looking at him as just my husband. I'm looking at him as my brother in Christ, which means, I'm interceding for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking against these spirits, because those are spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking against these spirits. I'm praying the word. I'm finding scripture that is going to help with what we're speaking against. I'm now not looking at his defense, because us as women and men, when people do things, it's a personal offense. We take it as a personal attack against us. Well, when you start looking at this as your brother in Christ, you realize that him cheating has little to nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
It has absolutely nothing to do with you, but it has to do with his own pain, his own damage within himself that's making him do this, and it was never meant to direct. It does affect you, but it was never meant to directly affect you. And when you start looking at it from that way, even if you choose not to be there no more,
mm-hmm.
you're still not, that's not coming from a place of anger. It's not coming from a place of bitter or resentment if you make that choice. And as Dr. Brenda says, statistically, the statistics say that the majority of the people never get a divorce behind infidelity. They get divorced behind communication, finances, all kind of other stuff, but never, it's very rare that it's behind infidelity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Brenda?
I want to say this, because when you said that when you before you marry this person, he's your brother in Christ. But the statistics shows that the Christians got a high infidelity rate. So when you're dating, people put their best foot forward. So you marrying someone with their best foot forward, they didn't show that before you married them. If they showed that they was someone you couldn't trust, the question would be, why did you marry them? But
well,
if they
didn't show you
that side, then you say, okay, I will.
Yeah.
Then when you get married, you find out that they had this facade going on, and your Christian person who is your brother in Christ, now he's your husband who's out here cheating, and vice versa, it can be a woman. Now you've got this whole different scenario that you're looking at, because the stats say, statistics say from the health research funding that 74% of men said if they knew they can get away with having an affair, they would have it.
They would do it.
And 68% of women that say if they knew if they had an affair, they would do it if they thought they could get away with it.
What is that?
So,
I gotta ask this question. What do you think that is? That's a high percentage of 74% of men said that if they thought they could get away with having an affair, they would. Do you think that? I just got to go back to Adam. I mean, got to. It's that mentality to even feel like that has got to go back. Do you think that we, what is that? Because you think about back in the Old Testament, men had multiple wives. And
right.
And so I'm thinking that that's not just a spirit that's been just infiltrated from the beginning of time that men want more than what they got. What is that about?
Well,
okay.
Men had multiple wives, but they began with one wife. If you go back into the beginning of the Bible, if we're just taking the Bible, it began with one wife, not multiple wives. That's the multiple wives was just what men decided to do or people decided to do on their own, not because that was just something that was established. And they started having covenant with all these wives, and God honored those covenants because my pastor, he was preaching this weekend, and he said, God was never looking for no wife. He said, God didn't want no wife. It was man who wanted wife. And so God says he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Well, but in the beginning, he said it's not good for man to be alone. That was in Genesis.
Yeah. And then Paul said either stay alone or get married, but you're going to have to do one. So I'm saying all that to say is that, we can't say that we have to take it back to our value system. In the end, it all goes back to our value system, and something has to be a firm foundation of our value system. I think it moves so much because we're so worried about how the world is going to respond to us when we deal with cheating or when we deal with lying, when we deal with stealing, rather than if that's how we felt or didn't feel, like how you have these statistics about these Americans who really start kind of say, I think it's okay, or even the Christians who are, after I get married, it's going to be okay because she ain't going nowhere. But if you, again, they knew who they were marrying before they got married to them. They saw the issues, the challenges, and they decided whether or not they wanted to deal with it by, holding it up to their value system. Okay, I could deal with this. I ain't going to deal with that. I could tolerate this or I ain't going to tolerate that. And slowly adjust it.
Yeah, we do. We make, I think, waivers. And I say that because I read a thing that says that women's reason for getting married or men's reason for getting married are the same. Change. She married him because she thinks she could change him. And she's ready to get married because she thinks she could change him. And he's scared to get married because he thinks she's going to change. Isn't that ironic? She wants to change him, and he's scared. And most men are scared of commitment because they think she's going to change, and we go into a relationship thinking we could change him. And we especially, and I think another reason, too, another thing with believers, and now this is, I'm saying in general, but I think when believers are actually making the decision to be celibate, to live celibate lifestyle until they get married. I think a lot of times believers, I think that the divorce rate among believers is so much higher than in the world is because I believe that believers rush in to get married, and they get married for the wrong reason. One, the first thing is God is in the center of our marriage, we can't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lie from the pits of hell. And I say that because if you don't have a relationship with God, a personal relationship, and the mate don't have a personal relationship with God, God will be in the middle of your marriage. There ain't going to be nothing, because if he don't have his own prayer time and you don't have your own prayer time and he not being convicted and you not being convicted, y'all going to just be two Christians giving each other hell in the household.
Exactly.
The second thing is that because we don't want to be obedient to God and just wait for God to send us our mate, we go around out of order. Women, and you ain't got no business out there looking for a husband. It's not biblical, and men were meant to be the hunter. And there's something about the hunter when he's feeling hunted that he's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about the hunter when he feels like he's being hunted, he's going to run. And so I'm saying all this to say that a lot of times, and I'm saying this because I've been married a couple of times before, and I can remember my decision making being based on the fact that I want to be right within God's standards. I want to be right within my conscience. My moral conscience was you don't have sex outside of marriage. And so I made some decisions, and I was young, but I'm saying, I'm sure if I felt like that, there's others. And I made a decision to get married because in my mind, I'm lining up with the word of God, and what God wants me to do is be married. So I'm getting married to a person that I haven't verified, I have not qualified, and then the next thing you know, I'm in a marriage, mm-hmm. in a situation, and I'm expecting God to just step in and miraculously do some miracles within this relationship, but those are the things I should have been seeking at first. I should have been verifying and qualifying this person at first. I shouldn't have been so anxious to do what I wanted to do that I just totally threw out some of the things that I should have, you know, paid attention to. And like you said, the red flags were there. But we looked beyond and went, oh, I'll pray for him. You know, I'll pray for her. Oh, you know what, God, I know this is God. Because once we get married, God is going to anoint it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be under his covenant. And then we got to turn around and get a divorce. And God, yes, he forgives us. Do we like divorce? No. Does he like to sin? No. But he'll forgive us. But then we got to go through all this. Now we hurt. We hurt. We damaged. We bitter. We angry. And all this stuff he got to go through and process with us. I'm talking about God. Because we wasn't willing to be lined up and in order with him so that he could direct us, so that he could let us know, so that we could get confirmation from him. We could verify, we could qualify, we could compare this person that we're interested in to what the word of God says. Does it line up? But people can't fake everything. Yes, people could come off. If you have a relationship, people could come off and pretend what they want to pretend. But there's things that drop in our spirits that we ignore. And because I'm a daughter, because you're a daughter, because you're a son of God, and if you have that one-on-one personal relationship with God, believe me, he's ministering to you. And oftentimes what we've done is because we want to be loved so bad. We want to be in relationship. We want to be in commune with another person so bad at times that we just shut down what God is saying.
Mm. Wow, that's good. That's very interesting. When you think about how we tolerate so many different things and we make excuses or reasons why things are okay or reasons why things are not okay, you know, I mentioned that you know who you're dealing with before you get into a marriage. Even in knowing if God called you there or if God did not call you there, a lot of times we want to blame things on God. And say, well, you know, if this is where God wanted me to be, why would it be so much struggle? Why would it be so much this or why would it be so much that? And all throughout this show, I'm going to continue to take it back to your value system. But you have to know what your value system is, and that person has to know what their value system is, because we all get away from our value system. We all do. That's a given because we're in the flesh. So we all get away from our value system. But the thing is, we have the victory to stay connected to our value system, or, you know, go back to being close and bonded with our value system. When we deal with, again, people cheating or people lying or anything like that, and we decide to stay or we decide to not stay, or, you know, even get into where we're battling with each other, we're battling with other people, you have to know that through it all, whether you are so extremely bonded to your value system or you getting away from your value system, you have to know that through it all, your value system is directing you. And if your value system is based upon the word of God, then that means you're knowing that God is directing you. And so when you see yourself getting away from it, it's just like being in the fight. The coach may have told the manager may have told you everything to do before you got into the fight. You get into the fight and you start getting hit a little bit, your head starts hitting a little bit. They call timeout and you go back and you go like, okay, wait a second, what did you say I'm going to do again?
Right.
You know, you have to make sure that you keep staying connected to it. And you're going to get away from it. But if you get so far away from it, what happens is that God is not directing your value system. The world is directing your value system. You know, if so-and-so find out that he was cheating with her, then, you know, they're going to treat us this way. They're going to hide this stuff and don't do this. And then you're not dealing with the issue. You're not dealing with the challenge or the situation at hand. But if I'm willing to say, you know, like, first of all, you're my sister, you're my brother first when you cheat me. So that means regardless of what you do, I'm going to stand firm on my values and who I am and what I believe and what I expect and I want. And if you claim that you stand firm against these things, I'm going to help you, sister or brother, to get to those things. But I'm not going to help you at the death of me. I'm going to help you at the life of you. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to die because of that, meaning I don't have to let go of my values to help you live.
Mm-hmm.
What I need to do is uphold my values to help you live, because then when you start doing stuff that you say you don't want to do, I can say, you know what, I can irritate you so much that you start thinking about it. I can irritate you so much that you start changing your ways, or I can irritate you so much that you go away. But whatever I do, I'm going to live, and I'm going to help you live as well.
Good.
Well, one of the things that I see that's happening. Yes, and another thing to caveat off what Minister LaDon was saying is when people get together and they get in a relationship and they're in there for years, then they get complacent, take each other for granted, and they forget what they did to be with each other. So the same thing that you do to get that person to fall in love with you, it's the same thing you have to continue doing while you're married, and you have to continue being friends. You have to continue to communicate and not take each other for granted, because they said the stats said that 56% of the men who have affairs say they're happy in their marriage, and women have affairs for different reasons, because women are emotional and men are more physical, but they both say they're happy in their marriage. So it's a simple concept. Treat each other like you want to be, like you like to be treated. Treat each other like you were treating each other when you were dating. Communicate and talk and have date nights and go out and compliment each other and hold hands, and he pulls out the chair and he helps you open the door. And, you know, when you're out in public, you show that you really love each other and like being around each other. Because like the stats say, when somebody finds out in a marriage that someone has cheated or they both cheated, that is not the groundbreaking rule that we're going to get a divorce. They stay together. But you forget somewhere along the road of this couple and the marriage that you start getting complacent, taking each other for granted, and before you know it, either one or both start straying. You have to bring that back in, sit down and communicate, and keep the doors open so that you can eliminate that. Because the world, we've got so much social media for people to stay in contact with people that they don't even meet. We didn't have this 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
We didn't have cell phones. Everybody had a phone at home, and someone left a message, and if someone kept calling the house and hanging up, then one of the spouses got suspicious. We didn't even have call 69 back then, so I'm going way back. So it's so much faster and easier, and so many avenues for people to cheat versus back in the day when it was one phone in the house. And I remember when we first got the phone and we had the second line, and then you could put someone on hold and pick up another line. Well, my mother, if you had both lines busy back then, you could call the operator, and they would disconnect those lines.
Emergency call.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that now, because most people don't even have a landline. Everybody's on cell phones. And then you can text, and you can tweet, and your Instagram. You got so many ways of being in touch with people from all over the world. That just gave that avenue open so that there's more cheating, and that's why the stats are so high. Because people have forgotten that I have this person that I stood in front of family and friends and God and said, I'm going to be married for life, and you're going to be the only person. But I have to say this. The stats also say that 50% of Americans feel that a monogamous relationship is impossible. It's impossible for humans to achieve.
Wow.
And that's high. But then in June is the married month, and the wedding planners are working hard putting these June weddings together. So it didn't. Even though the stats are high, people still get married.
Yeah, that's just, that's sad. It's sad to think 50% think that it's impossible to be monogamous. And then you think about, it goes back to these statistics are good. I mean, while I don't know people listening in, if you got the statistics, it's amazing with these statistics. But it goes back again to what Minister LaDonna was saying, is that your moral compass, and you got to make sure that you're not so desperate. See, I always say that desperation breeds counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
When you're so desperate to be in a relationship, you're so desperate to be married. This is male and female. So I got male friends that's ministers and that's single and that's believing God for their wives, and they've gotten involved with women that just, just Jezebel, And so so it's both ways, But one of the things I would say is that desperation breeds counterfeits.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of desperation breeds counterfeits, because when you get so desperate, it breeds counterfeits. It's going to send people in your life that don't mean you any good because they're broken. They're broken, and they're just looking for the next person to break. And these people are attracted, it brings it. So we got to be careful. And now this, and this show, like we said, we've already established that it's just as many women cheating as it is men. But this is woman to woman. So I want to talk to my sister. We gotta hold up our standards.
Mm-hmm.
We got to constantly check our moral compass. And the moral compass is the word of God. We got to constantly check what the word says. Be full of the word, because you know what? We can get to such a place as mothers, as wives, as employees. We can get so busy constantly feeding and pouring into other people that we find ourselves at the bow, that all we have left is bow. And anybody that don't know what bow is, that's the place you get to where you've puked up everything inside of you, all the food, and that's the last part of the bottom of your stomach is a bitter taste. And sometimes I think we as women, we give so much, and if we don't know how to get that back, if we don't know how to just steal away, steal that time to just get into his presence, to get into his word, to allow him to begin to pour back into us, and we feel it, then we hit the bowels in our life. How do you know when you hit the bowels? And this is not a negative. This is a reality. This has happened to us, even as ministers and you know, leaders in the Word of God. How do you know when you hit that bowel? You begin to murmur and complain. Everything agitates you. Everything irritates you. You begin to murmur and complain. And then you could start seeing the cup as half empty. It's no matter what comes up, it's half empty. You start feeling bitter. You start feeling angry. You start holding to, you start resurfacing pains of the past. And those pains of the past, you start remembering who was the last person that hurt you. You start remembering who the last person that, who owed you money that ain't paid you in 13 years and you still, now you all, you ain't thought about it in years and now all of a sudden you thought about it because you got to have something to compare to why you feel. That's why I feel this way, because you remember back in 1993 when such and such $4 or $5 and didn't pay it back. So I'm just saying, we, you know, that's how you know you're at the bowel. And when you get to that place, hear yourself. I hear myself. When I get to that place, it's like I can hear, it's almost like I can hear this, that yeah, yeah. I can hear yeah. And that's telling me, Denise, it's time to sit down. It's time to take a sabbatical. You need to shut it down. You need to get into my presence. You need to begin to pray. You need to begin to worship. You need to begin to praise and get filled back up so that now when you opening up your mouth, now when you, you know, now when you're interacting, you have something to give. Because when we're full, we know, when, you know how you had a good meal, Minister LaDonna, you get full. As soon as you get through eating a good meal, your first thought ain't to go eat again. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You're full.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't be full for the rest of the day or maybe for just a couple hours, but you're full. The last thing you're trying to do is go get full, is eat some more.
Exactly, because my hashtag on Twitter, one of my hashtags is stay hungry, because you don't, you won't eat when you're hungry. So when I'm talking about, you know, passion for life and going after the things of, that you want in life, I always say stay hungry. Because just like you just said, when you're full, you don't have a taste for anything. Nothing even look good. It don't even tempt you.
Oh, I see what you, yeah, so I see what you said. You stay hungry, then you're going to go after it. You're going to thirst. You're going, definitely.
Well, and before you close, I love how you just talked about the getting the example of being full, because when you're full, when according to your standards, according to what you expect and your expectations are being met and you're meeting the other person's expectations, it does not matter what comes across your way. You can see a cake that when you're hungry, it looks like the best-looking cake in the world, but when you're full, that cake is just another cake.
Oh, yes.
It's just another cake. You know what I'm saying? So, again, stay connected to your value system, which is God, because he's going to help you, help fill you up. And if you're in that relationship that he calls you to be into and you allow God to define that relationship and you stop being hungry, stop staying hungry, get full where God is feeding you.
You're
everything,
full.
Yeah, everything that come across your way, you can let it go.
That's it. That is it for men and women, you know. That's it for men. Stay full so that when the little cupcakes come marching by, you too full to even, you done already feasted on steak, potatoes, or whatever your thing is. You done got so full so that when the dessert, so to say, came through, well, why want some cupcakes when I just had a slice of pecan pie?
Yeah, exactly.
And some ice cream, you know. So that is so true. Hallelujah. We thank you, ladies, for listening in on tonight to Woman to Woman. I thank my colleague, Dr. Brenda, and Minister LaDon. We just thank you all for supporting Woman to Woman. We ask that, this is one thing we would like to ask you. If you enjoyed the show on tonight, we ask that next Tuesday you tune in. Get a girlfriend. You know, get one of your friends and you guys join in. We, you know, if you have a certain subject matter you want us to talk about on the show, shoot us a quick email, inbox us on the Woman to Woman page, and let us know. We're trying to make sure that we talk about things that matter to us as women.
Yeah.
You know, how do we get past the hurts and pains as women that we've inflicted on other women and other women have inflicted on us. How do we bring down the walls that we built up to protect ourselves? How do we find trust again? How do we build trust among our women again? So we appreciate you again for listening in. We pray that you listen in on Tuesday, Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Tuesday. We will be here every Tuesday to talk about topics and discussions that are important to us. So we just hope that you continue to tune in and bear it with us as we continue to Woman to Woman, as we continue to perfect MCD Network. And when you can and when you want to, also we have Processing the Pain on Thursdays with Coach D at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time under the same network, MCD Network. So if you get opportunity on Thursdays listening to Processing the Pain, we have some amazing shows coming up on both shows. Starting the first of the year, I'm excited. I have a lineup that's amazing. We're going to be talking about recovery from substance abuse. We're going to be talking about when potential meets purpose. We're going to be talking about matters of the heart. We have Mr. Cherie Dela Cruz that's going to be joining us on Thursday the 14th.
Oh, wow.
And so we got some things coming up on Woman to Woman that we're excited about, and we're just telling you to tell a friend and join us, and we just love you and thank you for your support, and have a great evening. God bless.
Bye-bye.